This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, this hour of Brock and Salk is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. Good morning. Hope you're having a good day. And our conversation today centers around a little piece I wrote this morning on 710sports.com. I hope to take a couple of minutes to read it in depth, although you'll get some of the information here. I hope you'll take a few minutes. I spent some time on this over the last couple of days, and it's essentially the thought that the Mariners should extend first Jerry DePoto and then Scott Service. And I don't think you can do one without the other. I don't think you can extend Scott and not Jerry, although I think that's a conversation. Quite frankly, I feel better about the extension for Scott Service than I do about Jerry DePoto. But I think you've got to do DePoto first, and so we can talk a little bit more about that. The phone lines will be open throughout here, 206-421-3776. There is no perfect. Don't let perfect be the enemy of the good. There is no perfect in this case. Jerry DePoto's track record is not perfect. It's spotty. There's some really great successes. The Haniger and Segura trade is probably top among them.
Mm-hmm.
And the D. Gordon trade is probably right there next to it. His ability to acquire some pitching and bring those guys in and have success with guys that maybe you weren't expecting. I got to give him a lot of credit for what he did building this pitching staff this year, knowing that the offseason was going to be a real challenge to find pitching. And in fact, the guys that he didn't take have been awful. Yu Darvish, Jason Vargas, some of those guys who got paid in the offseason have not been good at all.
Yeah.
And rather than waiting for free agency and knowing that he didn't have that many dollars available because of some of the contracts given out before he got here, he built in last season. He traded for Marco Gonzalez. I don't know whether that's a good trade or not. Tyler O'Neill's been great since coming up for St. Louis, and he's going to hit a lot of home runs.
What was it, three straight games with a home run?
Yeah, Tyler O'Neill's a good player, and he may very well turn out to be a mistake. I also think that it was an inspired move and a creative move to go out and use one of your assets to build to bring a pitcher that you think can help you not just last year, but moving forward for the next few as well. So it's not perfect. It's not the trade I would have made. I can say that I would like to extend Jerry despite not liking all of the deals he's made.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I think that he's done enough to earn trust. And I think that you're going to need that now going forward with some really big decisions to make this year. And so I would extend him. And I think if you weren't going to extend him, then you should have fired him in the offseason.
Mm.
That the time to do that would have been last year.
After 2 years?
Yeah. Because now...
It's impossible to gauge after 2 years.
Well, then unfortunately, Brock, this year three becomes sort of the big one where you've got to make a decision on the future. Mid-season. Not at the end of this year. You got to make that decision this July at the latest on which direction this franchise is going. I'm sick of it. And if you're going to be out, then be out. And you better have somebody in place ready to be out. So, I mean, there are other ways you could play it. If you really trust Jeff Kingston, his assistant GM, and by the way, Jeff was right there in line to maybe even be the GM the last time he just didn't have as much experience.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of people in baseball, and Jeff was an up-and-rising name when he first came here from San Diego. If you really trusted Jeff and said, okay, if we burn DePoto mid-season and then we want to sell, we just trust Jeff to do it all, mm-hmm. then you'd have to empower him and make him the real GM, not some interim deal. You'd have to really empower it. And if that was the way you would handle it, I guess I could understand it. But at this point, I think you would need to extend Jerry and find a way to empower him to handle June, July, and August from a long-term perspective, not just a short-term one.
If this team was record was more representative of the run differential, Mike, a little bit of what Jeff Passan was talking about yesterday, a little bit of what Danny David Moore was talking about yesterday as well. If they were a game over 500, right, would you feel this way?
I think I would have to.
So this is not a move for you. This is not an article written. This is not a conviction you have because of the way they have played over these first near 50 games, right? Of where they have won a bunch of games that they were not supposed to win, where they are 4-0 in extra inning games, where they added to their comeback list last night and got comeback win number 13, and many of those of the later inning varieties beating up on bullpens, and where Eddie Diaz closes the door as he has done more efficiently than any closer in the game this year.
Well, if that were the case, Brock, and you truly didn't believe that the future was going to be bright, then you probably would need to make the opposite decision now and run him. I mean, you can't wait. You can't, because if you're going to be
because of what's at stake over the next 5 to 6 weeks.
Yes.
Because of the decisions you have to make.
Yes.
Because of the ticking time bomb of where your older core is, and where, frankly, you've got about $12 million that you never envisioned having as well, and you have got to make some decisions once again on the trajectory.
And if they were five games under .500 right now, I think I would be sitting here saying, okay, run them.
move on. Fire Jerry DePoto now. Don't wait till the end of the year. Make a decision and move on from the guy. I personally think that Scott Servais has been fantastic. I think he's been a plus manager for them and probably the best we've seen in our time doing this together and probably the best manager they've had since Lou. I honestly believe that because of what he's done in the clubhouse, how he's gotten this group to buy in, and that plus eight run differential compared to the, what, nine games they are over 500?
Yes.
I think that is a testament to what Scott has done. But you can't, you know, you can't just extend the manager and not the GM and force DePoto to twist. I think that would be wrong. So yeah, you're right.
Do you anticipate this happening? Does your gut say that in time here and
within the next month?
Yeah,
I think so. My gut would tell me that Jerry is going to get extended, and he's going to be extended either way. Whether they fall out of this thing in the next few weeks or whether they continue to be right in it, yeah, my gut tells me that they're going to extend them, and I think they should. How about you?
I can't do it, man. I can't do it middle of the season. It's just not in my nature to do that. It's just not in my nature to make these kind of decisions.
So you're going to let them play out the rest of the year with no deal?
Yeah. And it's typically how I fall in a lot of these situations. Just let time be the judge of this. Baseball seasons over, what have we learned over the course of 162, man, you will learn an awful lot. Not in the first leg of this, not in the first lap of a mile race, not even in the second lap. I guess back to my analogy in Blue 42 with contact and putting pads on in football. Let the course of this season, you know, run. Let's see, you know, how wired in they can be. Let's see that trust they have in one another when things are going very, very well.
Yeah, I think
how about when it goes the other way and there will inevitably be a skid, and there will be at some point this season of four or five or six games. And if this injury bug keeps hitting, it may be sooner than we've seen in years past.
But if that's the case, then you need to blow it up. And what, you're going to blow it up with Jerry DePoto, who doesn't have a deal? You're not going to do that. You're not going to ask your manager, who doesn't even have a deal beyond this year, to start blowing up and preparing for a rebuild, are you? No,
well,
you're not.
I don't anticipate it blowing up in the next 5 weeks. I anticipate them, you know, playing because of this schedule, because of the American League as well. In some ways, maybe that complicates it, too. You know, you're going to have Tampa. You're going to have Minnesota. You're going to have some bad teams where I don't think all of a sudden they're going to go 5-20 and totally fall out of
it. I don't think they are either. But I mean, I think you got to prepare yourself for both scenarios, and I think you need to trust the guy. And if you trust him and he's your general manager, then I think you need to commit to him, and I think you need to show him some love based on what he's done and what he's going to have to do coming up here. 206-421-3776. That's where we stand. How about you guys? Let's grab Ty, who's in Yakima. I'll see if we can build some conversation here. Ty, go ahead.
You know, you guys kind of hit a couple key things that I've been listening to, and I watch the Mariners like every year. I'm one of those diehards. And, you know, I think that for us to say that they're not going to go 5-20, in years past, that was kind of a given. It was going to happen. And I think it's all because of the culture they've made there the last couple years with a lot less pieces than, you know, what we could have as a, you know, a team that's kind of competing at this point. So, I don't know, I kind of base that, yeah, we should extend them because those guys have created something pretty special with a lot less talent. And I think they have kind of an innate ability to kind of bring up people that may not succeed at different level or different teams in different environments. So that's my opinion.
Yeah, Ty, thank you for that phone call. I'm a little torn on this, Mike, because, and you're going to tell me it just doesn't work that way, and I don't want to hear that, even though it's right. I'm a little torn because I think Scott Servais has done an incredible job with less.
Mm-hmm.
I think Scott Servais, in kind of this conversation, we go back to the other world where we spend so much time in the silos of the draft and John Schneider in the build versus Pete and the coaching and all the messaging and everything else. We don't do that quite as much as baseball, and we shouldn't, okay? Because those two have a much more symbiotic relationship over 180 days.
They have to.
Right? Whereas, you know, in football, the personnel department's got 4 or 5 months, and they build everything, and team and coach go mold this clay. You know, baseball doesn't work that way. Baseball, it's a constant every single day. Yet last night, with two more injuries to this team, constant conversation of what are we doing here? Who are we bringing up? You know, what's in the plans? What's in the works? So there's much more relationship.
You've seen it torn apart.
Yeah, we have, but I'm much more confident for some reason and comfortable with the job that Scott's done.
I would agree with you. I am too. But just go back to the end. There's a couple of reasons why I think that you can't use that as a reason not to extend Jerry. And one is, go back to Jack Zarensic. When it finally became time to move on from Zurencic, and we were going through all of the reasons, and there was a who do you blame, Jack or Lloyd, this and that, eventually we said, well, ultimately it's Jack. Jack hired Lloyd. He was this third bite at the apple. And at some point, you don't get any more. Hiring a manager is a gigantic part of what the general manager does.
Yes.
Getting along with that manager is almost as important. Man, I know nobody wants to hear about my time in Boston, but God, that tore apart that organization so many times when I was growing up and watching that team. Dan Duquette, Jimmy Williams, and some really good teams completely torn apart because of ego and because those two positions couldn't get along. You got two guys in Service and DePoto that have been getting along great, that seem to be awfully simpatico in the way they want the organization to go. And if part of the general manager's job is to choose the manager, and you, like me, really like what Scott's done,
yes,
that's part of Jerry DePoto's resume also.
Okay, a bunch of you, we'll get to all these phone calls. I promise you that. And you guys are all over
this. We got about 20 minutes before we talk to Steve Levy about some hockey.
So help me understand this, if you wouldn't mind. Just help me, add me and everybody else, help me add a little context to the job of a general manager in the hit rate. Because it's much easier for me as the son of a coach to evaluate Scott on a daily basis than it is to evaluate Jerry DePoto amongst his 29 peers.
Yeah.
Right? Is his hit rate, you know, if he's hitting .338, right? Which I think if you look at a lot of these moves, and I don't want revisionist history. He did not come in with an empty cupboard. This wasn't the job that Jack had. Mm. Jack came in with a totally empty cupboard. Bill Bevesi said at the end,
that's
I'm going
true,
all in.
He didn't come in with a full cupboard either.
He didn't come in with a full cupboard.
I believe the farm system was ranked 28th.
In the middle of the pack.
No. It was not middle of the pack.
When he inherited this job?
I don't think so.
Oh, I don't. With the young players that he had on the roster and with the farm system?
I don't think the farm system has been in the top 20.
No, for
it was
years.
It was below 20, and I would guess it was closer to 25 or 28.
Like, there's just nothing down there.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate
it. Like, really?
I know. There's not much there, Jeff Passan.
Well, no, like, really?
Yeah.
Their farm system is absolutely terrible.
It is.
Well, there were enough pieces there. So whatever those baseball almanacs wanted to rank it, there were enough pieces there for Jerry to make a lot of moves. He made a lot of moves that other teams and clubs said, okay, whether they were great or not, or Alex Jackson was great or not, there were enough pieces in place that he did not have an empty cupboard where there were no moves, which he has now. Now he's got an empty cupboard because the Tyler O'Neills and the Alex Jacksons and a lot of the moves and the international slot money and everything that else that he did, the Chago Vieiras, he had a lot of pieces to at least work with. Right now it's empty. Okay, right now there is nothing in that farm system. So just from a hit rate, is he where other general managers basically are in this game? Like this is kind of, he's not hitting, 200. He's hitting, 280. And does ex-general manager hit .310 and ex-general manager hit .250? And is he kind of at least, can you frame it in any context for me that way?
No.
Okay.
But good luck with that. I mean, I welcome your I welcome your attempt to try to figure that out. 206-421-3776. Let's grab Robert, who's been hanging on a while in Redmond. Robert, thanks for hanging on. What would you do?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Great.
So, firstly, Brock, you realize if you don't renew Jerry, you have to risk that they're going to make some really bad decisions short term to win now. That's the first thing. The second thing is that Jerry showed up and $80 million was already locked up with Felix, Cano, Seager, and Cruz.
Yep.
And then the third thing is that the Houston Astros had a huge head start on him before we had all those injuries last year. And so for those reasons, I feel like he's done everything he can with the assets he's been provided help the team win, which is why I think you do renew them.
You do this deal. That's a really good call, Robert. Thank you. I think those are three excellent points. Can I add just one more on that side?
Please do.
The one more on that side is Jack Zurencic was fired, not just because of all the manager churn. He was fired because he was listless in his conviction. He was fired because he built a team originally one way, and then we brought the fences in, we're going to build it a different way, and then all of a sudden we're going to build it a third way, and you do not get that chance.
And there was a lot of internal stuff, too. I mean, all that Tony Blangino and some of the things that went on in and around the Josh Lukey, and there were a lot of things that added up to the
end. There was a manager that quit on him.
Yes. I mean, there were a lot of things.
A manager that quit on him.
And we haven't seen any of that with DePoto.
No, Jerry said very clearly, this is a conviction. This is the style of play we're going to have. We want to be hard to play against, and we want to be athletic. And you know what? Over a course of 3 years, that has been a pretty clear plan for him that he has followed.
Let me grab Aaron, who's in Seattle, is going to go the other way with this. 206-421-3776. Aaron, what would you do if you were Kevin Mather, John Stanton, and the Mariners brass?
I mean, you can't just go and I agree with Brock, basically, when he was saying that it's early on success that we have right now. And the way I look at it is that this team was basically a 500 ball club before these guys came in. And they've been a 500 ball club or thereabouts since they've been here. And just because you're looking at a few months of success where we're getting, you know, we're riding a hot streak right now, I mean, you can't just go and go with your current emotional
state. Yeah, but I'm not doing that. I think I've been pretty clear that that's not why I want to do it. It's not because they're playing well right now. It's because more of what's to come and some of the decisions that need to be made and wanting to have a firm, solid base and foundation for making those decisions in the next 2-3 months.
Well, what are those decisions that you think
they're going to come? All right, let me run through them. I'll run through them for you. First of all, in the next couple of months, you're going to figure out how to spend $12 million that all of a sudden showed up on your books. And to do that is going to require some creativity because you're not going to give up a lot of prospects. A, you don't have a ton to give up, and B, I think you need to protect yourself in case you decide you're going to eventually sell. So you need to bring in some more relief pitching, hopefully a starter and probably an outfielder, and I would rank them in that priority order, and you're going to need to be awfully creative in order to get that done. I think Jerry's shown an ability to do so. If none of that works, or your team falls out, or the injuries get worse, or the Astros run away and hide, or the Angels just play, you know, win 20 straight, then you're going to have to decide something else because you cannot go all in with the hopes of a one-game playoff. At some point, you need to realize that this older group, and I'm not talking about Haniger or Pat, I mean, the older group is not good enough. And then you got to start selling. And you can't sell with a general, I believe, I don't think you can sell well with a general manager who has 2 months left on his contract. That you're going to ask that guy to start making decisions 4 or 5 years down the road when he knows that you don't want him around more than 2 more months? That's bad business. And if anybody asked you to do that, I think in your job, you tell him to go to hell. And I wouldn't blame Jerry DePoto.
Would you, Robert? Would you tell him that? Go to Hades?
It's Aaron. Sorry.
Would I tell him?
Yeah, Aaron, would you tell your boss to go to
Aaron,
Hades?
Aaron, we want you to make a decision for this company that's going to help us in 5 years, but you're going to get fired in 2. You cool with that?
Yeah, but that's, I mean, unless you're saying that, I don't think I don't think by not extending them, or at least extending DePoto, you're telling DePoto that you don't want him. I mean,
but if you're DePoto, hold on a second, Aaron. Let me just fight. If you're DePoto, or you know, I mean, truly in that position,
yeah,
it's kind of like Earl Thomas with his holdout right now. Do you want me? Like, I've given you these years of service. I built this thing. Do you trust me moving forward? Do you want me to do this job? I've given you 2.5 years of this thing. Do you want me at the most critical time to do this job?
Yeah, but it's been 2.5 years of essentially. You know, you stayed in the same place.
Yep.
You didn't make the playoffs.
Then Aaron, so if I'm you, I'd fire him now. If I'm you, then I would just fire him. I don't like the in between. And I don't think I appreciate the phone call, man. I don't think I could allow him to make these big decisions without a level of trust that I think you got to have. And you got to show him.
Mm-hmm.
You would be okay being in that situation if you're Jerry DePoto?
I would feel like, okay, I'm going to keep proving to you. You know, I'm going to keep proving it to you. And in this crazy business where I have been how many spots, Mike? Things like the game of baseball that I can't control. There's results here as a GM I can't control. And when you wear that hat and you do that job, you are taking that responsibility.
I just don't know that you lose that much. And that's sort of the last piece of it is I don't know that you lose that much even if you extend them. Again, you're not talking about extending Felix Hernandez where you've got to throw an additional $200 million out there. If you extend Jerry DePoto for 3 years, what does it cost you? $3 million? $4 million? All right, so let's say after a year you decide to move on. Who cares? So you lost $2 million.
Yeah, but
you lose that in waiver claims.
Yeah,
like, you're a baseball team.
Yeah, it's not the fiscal part of it. It's the whole trust thing. It's the whole culture thing. It's the whole identity thing. It's the whole thing.
If you decide at the end of it you're going to clean house, then go clean house. I just don't think there's that much risk. Like, so what?
You think there's more risk on the other side?
Absolutely. I think there's much more risk associated with not extending him than there is with doing so. 206-421-3776. I'm confused about this. What it says here. Mike is in Spanaway, who might say something I've never seen before on this call screener. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So here's the thing. Like, in the past 3 seasons that we've had Scott Servais and Jerry DePoto, I have been 50-50 with these guys. I've said... You know, how I've criticized Scott Servais, I've criticized Jerry DePoto. One, I criticized Jerry DePoto on not signing the guys that we wanted to sign, and I've criticized Scott Servais for not putting certain guys in this lineup. But the points that you guys have made this morning, it's right now I would definitely re-sign Scott Servais and Jerry DePoto just because of the success that they have had so far. and the chemistry that these two have had. And I think the team would want it too, because just how well this team has been doing.
So it's the power of Salk's persuasion that has totally moved you.
Yeah, it has. It has.
Mike, you're the first. You are the first. You are the first person in the history of the show to be convinced by something I've said.
Well, normally I wouldn't agree with you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I wouldn't expect you
to. But again, you've made excellent points, because look at what Jerry DePoto has done. I mean, again, people have been confused by his trades and him not being able to sign guys that we wanted him to sign. I mean, look at me. I wanted him to sign Lance Lynn and certain pitchers in the offseason. Look at what those guys have been doing now.
They've been awful.
They've been awful. And what do those guys make combined? What, 70?
Yep.
$2 million combined.
Yep.
And now you've got an extra $12 million loose. And I'm actually curious as to what Jerry DePoto will do with that money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just kind of feel like he's going to trade that money for some big player, because Jerry DePoto always loves trading.
I don't think it's going to be for a big player. If I had to guess, I appreciate the call, and thank you for being convinced, being open to the idea of being convinced, even though, you know, we usually disagree.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I think what I'll see from Jerry is a low-level outfielder, you know, a platoon option in the outfield, not a big name, a reliever or two who could come in, and God, I can't help but be excited when I saw the name yesterday, and it jumped out to me when I saw the name Zach Britton.
Ooh.
Just one of my favorites, and he's coming back from being hurt. I know he wasn't as good last year, but man, he's at the end of his deal. If there was some way to deal with Baltimore, it's not going to be for a while, because they're not dealing anyone yet, but oh, Zach Britton would just make me unbelievably happy. And then maybe a starter if you can find a way to get one, and I think it's going to be probably in that order.
I'll tell you what's fascinating in the dynamic that may have changed all of this is one name, Shohei Ohtani. And to think, and who knows, Jerry was as happy-go-lucky as Scott Servais was in spring training. Mm-hmm. Jerry was on the other side. Jerry, there was an edge to him.
Hey, he was mad.
He
was
mad
about what happened. I don't blame him.
Yep. Yep. He was really, really furious and really frustrated with that one.
Okay.
And can you imagine, you know, because that goes in his column, right, wrong, and different. If you want to blame CAA or Mike Trout or anybody else, or he had no opportunity and no chance, he went in on that. He went in on slot money. He went in on trades. He went in on that one and unfortunately could not land.
I got about 1 minute. I'd love to grab a few more of these calls. I don't know if we can, but I'll get what I can. Mike is in Edmonds. Good morning, Mike. What would you do?
Oh, so many good points. Thanks, guys. You know, I'd keep them both. But I'm amazed at the job DePoto has done in transforming the lineup from 2 years ago to now.
Yep.
They were old and slow, and now the nucleus looks much brighter.
Yep.
And it seems like trying to keep the farm system and the major league club competitive is almost like bailing a sinking ship. It's really hard to do, and DePoto's done well, showing he can restock the major league team. I would like to see him get a chance at rebuilding the minor leagues too, and that's going to take a while longer. So I really want to see him get a chance.
Appreciate the phone call, Mike. Let me see if I can grab Dan in Seattle real quick. Dan, go ahead.
Hey, just want to pick up. He's done a really good job of building a young, cheap, affordable core outside of the draft, and then we got Felix and Cruz coming off the books here in the next 2 years. That'll get some payroll flexibility to supplement around those guys with some big free agents. I think he deserves a shot at that.
Yeah,
appreciate it. Appreciate the phone call.
I'll tell you what, man, if I had no opinion coming into this, right, and if I would just separate my risk-averse, conservative, old man ways with this, there are a whole lot of chips on that side of the table.
I don't think this is that risky, though. Again, like, what's the real risk? What's the worst thing that could happen if you commit to Jerry DePoto? If everything goes wrong and you decide at in another year that, okay, you know what, this didn't work, I'm out.
Yeah.
So what? So then you fire him.
Yeah.
What, you're going to eat a couple $1 million? You're the Mariners. Think about what you're already eating on Cano and Cruz and Felix, for
God's
sake.
You see?
You're eating so much money already. I don't know. I just that would be the last thing that would keep me from from making a decision. Be bold, Brock. Be bold. Thanks for all the phone calls. We'll get back to those, I promise, especially here at 9 o'clock. We'll have some more time open for you guys to discuss. In the meantime, we are going to shift gears for a few minutes and for good reason. Oh, man, I promised to give away these tickets,
too.
I could
do it at 9.
You want to do it at 9?
I said it at 9.
I said I would do it at 8.
Oh,
you Let's give it away right when we come back.
Okay.
All right, so we got Mariners tickets that we'll give away here in just a second, and then we'll talk to Steve Levy from ESPN, who's getting ready for the Stanley Cup Game 7 tonight in the Eastern Conference Final, and then, of course, right after that, we'll get going with the Stanley Cup Finals. Seattle's about to get a team. It's all going on. It's all here on 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Very strong statement. 10 years worth of frustration we got out of our system. We won't treat this with the same respect we were shown. We understand the message that was delivered and the support that was delivered. We will not let Seattle down. We promise.
Getting excited now, just a couple of weeks away from that announcement becoming more official. We'll talk to Steve Levy here from ESPN in just a moment, talk some hockey in the future here in Seattle. And Game 7 tonight in Tampa, a lot of excitement. Let me first quickly give away these tickets. First caller, we'll just give it right away. First caller at 206-421-3776 to win a pair of tickets to this Sunday's Mariners game at home. 1:10 start when the Mariners host the Twins. All fans are invited to stay after the game to watch a screening of The Sandlot up on the big screen on Mariners Vision. So in celebration of the 25th anniversary of that movie, you can find tickets today at mariners.com. We'll give them away to the first caller at 206-421-3776. Let's say hi to Steve Levy of ESPN. He's here at the Venue Kings Hotline. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Mike, Brock, good morning, fellas. How you guys doing?
Oh, how juiced are you right now, man? How psyched are you for what's coming, not only tonight in a Game 7, yeah, but then ultimately a series that's got Vegas in? And we chatted with you when, Steve, a couple months ago, talking to NHL. Said to Salk, we got to get Steve back on the phone, man, because you got a Game 7 and you got Vegas in the Stanley Cup Finals. How juiced are you?
Well, two things. A, I'm sort of conflicted, all right? You guys tell me what you would do. You know, I feel like I'm cheating on my lover here with I'm not going to be able to watch Game 7 tonight.
What?
Hockey, exactly. Someone, a close pal of mine, offered me a ticket on the floor for Celtics-Cavs, and that's how I turned around.
I understand ticket
and
on the floor.
At the same time.
Still.
You know, I'll take a picture of my shoes on the parquet for you guys to show you, okay?
I don't know. I mean, you're a big swinging guy at ESPN, you know, all the money you've made over the years. Just fly down to Tampa and get seats on the glass. Let's go.
I guess I could do that, too. I will say this. I was, you know, Melrose and I, we really don't care, right? We're not rooting for teams. We root for cities we want to go to. And so I was not devastated that Winnipeg lost in the conference final. Let's say that.
That's fair. Hey, first of all, who do you have tonight in that game? Do you think Tampa can win this thing, or will Washington finally overcome their Game 7 problems?
I'm in the minority. I'm going Capitals.
Really?
I've had a thought on Alex all along. They have obviously battled adversity in the series, you know, after winning the first two games and then get, you know, losing in this, you know, same old Caps and the issues on home ice. And, you know, to me, the old Caps, they would have lost Game 6. And instead they played great. They could not have played any better. Led by Ovechkin and, you know, people need to know he didn't score. He didn't get a point in that game. And they were the better team, and their goalie didn't even have to be that good. Braden Holtby was, you know, only occasionally tested in that Game 6. That's how good they were. And I just feel there's some destiny here for Ovechkin. And this is, you know, he said this is the biggest game of his career. You know, people forget the Capitals, you know, have been in the Stanley Cup final in one time. That was 20 years ago when they were swept by the mighty Red Wings. So, here's a chance for this franchise to do something. And that obviously would be the great story. You know, we're all about the stories. And so Washington against Vegas. Vegas is a GM is George McPhee. He got blown out of Washington. Like, there are a lot of great little storylines there.
You know, it's funny you bring up
being, that's the more interesting story.
Well, you bring up being torn, and I have found myself pretty torn on this Vegas thing, especially over the last few weeks, because it was easy to root for them during the season and kind of want them to have success and to see the stage show they put on beforehand is exciting. It's weird and not really hockey-like, but it's cool and different and exciting and all that. But as a hockey fan and as somebody that's getting excited for a team to be here in just a couple of years, I as much as I think they've been the superior team throughout the entire playoffs, I can't root for them to win a Stanley Cup in their first year, partially because I don't think that's right, partially because I think it would be unfair to those fans. It would all be downhill from there. And then partially because I don't want that pressure, that expectation, and I don't want them to change the rules here before Seattle has to have an expansion team. What do you think?
How selfish of you.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Hashtag trending selfish.
I can tell you, we're going to get like a 3-minute preview segment, and I'm going to have to spend, at least 30 seconds with Barry in the opening segment about, is this a good thing for hockey? Because that definitely is out there. Part of me is like, come on, people, do we have to ruin everything? Do we have to have a negative spin on every little thing? Can't we just enjoy this fabulous story? But I get it. I feel certainly the fans, you should have to be long-suffering before you can win a Stanley Cup. So I understand that. I also understand the frustration. There must be, owners who have poured multi-millions into their teams in 25 years and haven't had a sniff of the cup. I get all that, but I choose to embrace the great story. And if Vegas gets they get to the cup final and lose in the cup final, quite frankly, I think everybody would be happy. You know what I mean? Everybody can enjoy their achievements. And then, Salk, if you want to be selfish, there you go. There's something for you guys. You can
perfect.
You can take a leap over the Golden Knights and win the cup, actually, in Seattle's first year.
Well, Steve Levy, you see him all over SportsCenter and ESPN. You'll see him covering these Stanley Cup Finals. You've already seen him, but Barry Melrose, they are the guys when it comes to hockey. You've said good a bunch of times. I'm going to take good to great. Because there's some news that came out yesterday. The NHL Board of Governors, Steve, are going to meet on June 20th in Vegas, where they are expected to grant conditional approval for an expansion franchise in Seattle. When we talked to you 2-3 months ago about the possibilities of this and where it was going, I think we were all excited and hopeful. Steve, this is happening. Hockey is coming to Seattle. How geeked are you and Barry and I think the NHL community for what's to come in Seattle?
Yeah, I really think it's a rubber stamp, on the 20th coming up. And I think this is going to happen. I think people knew this was going to happen. I think that day we spoke was that maybe just deposit day. And, they went, yep. the deposits went in minutes. So I know the town that Seattle is. I've loved it on my visits during Monday night football times. And, I think the difference is going to be like Seattle knows how to do this, right? Seattle knows how to be a great sports town, how to take care of their teams. And the difference is, Vegas had not had that experience at all. Like, everything was new to Vegas. They'd never had a team of their own. So everybody bought in immediately. You didn't have to be a hockey fan. And so I think that'll be interesting to see Seattle. Our Mariners fans are interestingly going to be hockey fans. Seattle's already had sports experience, pro yeah. sports experience. So I think that'll be interesting. And for Vegas, it was totally brand new. Everything was brand new. No infrastructure was in place. And Seattle obviously has the benefit of being an experienced, really good pro sports town. So, but I think the league is very excited. I think we saw this coming. I think this helps juice up some new rivalries. Vancouver's sort of always been out there by themselves. They're not even like Canada's team. During the 2011 Stanley Cup final, like, most of Canada wasn't even rooting for Vancouver against Boston. Vancouver's sort of been out there by themselves in an odd sort of way, unlike a Montreal or Toronto. And I think that'll really help Vancouver's franchise as well. And just, West Coast hockey and another great road trip. Media people will be excited, too, because everybody loves visiting Seattle.
Hey, last thing here. And speaking of road trips, I have heard through the grapevine, this is years ago, and you could tell me otherwise. Maybe it's just an urban legend around ESPN. My football guys have told me when they've traveled with Barry Melrose, and it don't matter if it's a red eye at 11:30 at night or a 6 a.m. flight, that dude is suited and booted. Like, the suit is on at any time when he travels. Is that possibly true?
That is definitely true in the past. I say he slacked off a little bit. Okay. I've caught him like, so we'll go on some of these crazy road trips. And back in the day when we had hockey, it was, Calgary and Tampa. It was Carolina, Edmonton. I mean, think about that on the map. Double connections. And so on the rare occasion, you'd catch the old farmer being Barry in, blue jeans and flip-flops, and he looks so out of place, right? So that is such an odd sight to see him get on an airplane like that. But the amazing thing is Barry attracts so much attention. Yeah. Even hockey people who don't know, who he is outside of hockey, he looks like he's somebody, right? Even if you've never seen him before, you don't know anything about hockey, he looks, he's got that most interesting man quality about him. Yep. And so he just attracts attention to people who don't even know who he is. So he's a great dude, and he's fired up. Tampa's sort of his second home. Mm-hmm. After the Lightning fired him 16 games into the season, he said, "Really going to fire me? Screw it! I'll buy a house here and live here. Now what? You know, with the money they had to pay him for coaching just 16 games." So I think he's rooting for some home games in Tampa, but we'll be excited in Vegas. And I hope you check out the coverage on SportsCenter, guys.
We will.
We will do so. Steve, always good to talk to you, man. We really appreciate it. Have fun not going and watching Game 7 tonight, but have fun on the floor and then with the Stanley Cup Final. All right?
Hey, does Seattle have a hockey – the hockey team have a name yet?
No.
What are you thinking? Is there a favorite?
No, don't bring this up. This will cause a war.
We got a different topic to get to.
There's everything from the what's the one people like? The Kraken?
The Kraken. Yeah,
there's the Kraken, totems, the Sockeye, the Totems.
Metropolitan.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah, a lot on the table.
All right, so we'll let that process sort out.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Get in the middle of that.
All right. Yeah. See you, Steve.
See you, kids.
There you go. There's Steve Levy, of course, from SportsCenter. Pretty pumped about the hockey. And he should be. It's been a very good season for the NHL. And the Vegas thing has been good for the league.
Yep.
It has brought eyeballs to the league. It has brought, ears and people talking about it. All those things are good things. I just don't know that they need to win the cup right now, right? Can't you just get to the cup? Isn't that enough for year one? And then you kind of fight over the next few years to actually try to win that thing? We'll see. I think they're going to win. They've been really good. All right, coming up next, before we get back to a lot of your phone calls and talking some more about the Mariners and where they go forward here with their general manager and Scott Servais as well, let's do a little good news, bad news, no news, because a couple Mariners got hurt. We got updates on everybody. We'll do it next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Good news. Yeah! Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
Hey, I gotta say, this might be my favorite suggestion for a Seattle hockey name that I've seen.
Hold on one second, though. You realize you're gonna make a lot of people mad.
I don't care.
Especially the PLU.
I am?
Lutes. Oh, yeah. You're gonna make the Lutes really upset with
why?
That's their chief rival.
I don't.
UPS, dude. It's already taken. Sorry.
It's already taken, bro. Sorry.
I like the name of the Loggers.
No.
How about the Lumberjacks?
Actually, it's still on the table. It must be because they had Cougars in the final 20.
Yeah. I like the idea of the Loggers.
I do, too.
Seattle Loggers? I kind of good like name, that. For, especially like the beer playoff beards
and
hockey.
Oh, yeah.
And
I got to say that's
a double entendre on a. I thought you were saying beer.
No, beards, but also that,
the
too.
Seattle
you have the double
Loggers.
Entendre there, too.
And you got all the programmers logging a lot of stuff out here. You kind of bring everybody in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah, you got Loggers.
It's the first name that I've seen that I've actually kind of perked up. Like, oh,
this
actually, that could
work.
This
is the first time you've cared what the name is.
This is the first one I've seen. Thanks to the person in the 360 came up with that.
Yeah.
Oh, not surprising. 360.
That's a great idea. I'm in. Cut me in for that. All right, I'm. Everything else is
call
dead.
Call Tim and Todd Lewicki.
What else is in the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
D. Gordon was placed on the 10-day disabled list with a fractured great toe.
Yeah, that's bad news.
Great toe.
That is bad news. So did it happen on when he fouled a ball originally off his toe, and it was exasperated on his play at second base when he's trying to chase down that bloop single, as it turned out, over the weekend, and you could see him get up then.
But it wasn't that. It happened in Toronto.
Yeah, when he on a fouled off ball in Toronto. Was it when it originally happened and it was furthered.
Right.
So the dude is tough. He's dealt with it. Fracture toes, very little you can do. Very, very little you can do. It's just going to be a pain tolerance thing. Take him off his feet for 10 days, and more than likely he's going to have to deal with this a bit.
Brock used a new word, but doesn't really know what it means.
Exasperated.
So you said exasperated?
Exacerbated.
You're close.
Bad news.
It's fine.
All of it's bad news.
Yeah, but it could be a lot worse. I mean, when you first heard this yesterday, I know you must have thought, like, oh, geez. 10-day DL, is this going to go longer than that? And it sounds like if there was a 5-day DL, they would have used that. It's just, this is the minimum you can put them out there. So you're already 2 days into it, and hopefully they're able to survive without him here for a few. Any wins you can pick up in this stretch are important.
Is it fair to say he's the most irreplaceable player on this roster? If you were to have a debate, not in like pecking order, talent, anything else, but our old debate about Zach Miller, the tight end for the Seahawks, way back when I said he is sulky, as far as
irreplaceable. I think it might be Diaz at the moment. With the way the rest of that
that's
bullpen
true.
Is constructed.
Yeah, that's
you imagine this team without Edwin Diaz?
No, actually.
I mean, it's crazy. So I would put him one, but D's going to be right up there. I'd really like to see Nelson Cruz back tonight. I'd really like to see someone else in that lineup who can hit.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The NHL Board of Governors, they're expected to convene in Vegas on June 20th and expected to grant Seattle conditional approval.
Such great news. It's such fantastic, wonderful, great news that this is going to happen. Is that the official? When is the official celebration? Can someone just tell me when I should celebrate?
It's a process.
I know. I want to know what day the celebration is.
Enjoy the process.
That's fine. But what day do we celebrate? Is it on June 20th?
You can celebrate each of these days. It's just more days to celebrate.
When is like the day? When is the day it happens? When is it a like?
What do you say?
When the shovel goes in the ground. I think for me, when the shovel goes in the ground for the arena.
Is it? I think Lydia might be right. I think we might actually have to wait until puck drops for this whole thing to be real. But regardless, each step along the way is awesome. Each better than the one before it. This is continued great news.
I would agree. That is great news. By the way, Edwin Diaz, 16 saves.
Yeah.
Kimbrel and Boston's got 14, and the next is 10.
Yeah.
It's 10.
Hey, did you read that stuff over the weekend with Brian Windhorst saying that Kansas City was going to get a team soon? And from what
the arena's not going to be NBA ready?
What is he talking about?
Does he not listen to Bondo? I mean, Bondo made it abundantly clear.
Also, was that a sourced report, or was that his opinion? Do we have to go back to Nolan Naraki?
Is there a hedge fund disruptor?
Is this back to Nolan Naraki, who's been banned from this show because he couldn't make up his mind about whether or not he was quoting a source?
Is it opinion or is it source?
Right.
Answer the question.
If Brian Windhorst, the guy who's made his entire career by following around LeBron like a puppy dog, if that is his opinion on what's going to happen in the NHL, fine. You can have whatever opinion you want.
Correct.
If that is his source, then I'd be a little bit more curious as to what's happening here because that doesn't sound right.
Hey, by the way, how about these stats? Can I just rattle this off quickly?
I guess that's good news, bad news.
Top three guys in the American League earned run average, 1.05, 1.886, and 1.94. And I know ERA is not the end-all, be-all. There's many other stats.
Bullpen guys.
But 1.0, these are all starters.
Oh, good.
Oh, no, those are all starters.
All right, good.
1.05, 1.86, and 1.94.
Are they all Astros?
They sure are. Verlander, Gerrit Cole, Charlie Morton.
Jeez.
105, 186,
what's McCullers at?
194.
McCullers is arguably their best pitcher. What's McCullers at?
Unbelievable.
It can't be too far behind that. Yeah, their pitching's pretty good, and yet the Mariners are one game in the loss column behind them. One. The Mariners are two games overall and one game in the loss column right now behind Houston. So despite all of that incredible pitching, there's something going on here with these M's, and it led me, not specifically, but ultimately to this conversation, which we'll get into again here, which is that I think it's time for them to make a big decision on Jerry Dipoto. We'll discuss, we'll take more of your calls, and we will also settle some internal family business next on Brock and Salk.